fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. Taking a look at some key readings and themes from this season of Advent, we are in the fourth week of Advent. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs over the last few weeks, maybe you're coming on to the program for the first time. Over the last 3.5 weeks, I've been kind of walking with the church as the church, Catholic Church, prepares its people for the celebration of Christmas, the birth of our Lord. Advent is such a key time. It's the beginning of the church year. We start with first things first, and what the church exists to know and what the church lives in and communicates is the birth, life, passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory of the person of Jesus Christ. The church exists for Jesus, through him, with him, and in him. The church is about Jesus. Apart from Jesus, the church doesn't have a purpose in the world. And so the church reminds us each year at the head of the year, we begin with the great miracle of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in the womb of Our Lady, Mary. Everyone knows the story, even people who really know very little about Christianity or Catholicism. Everyone knows the story because of the Christmas trees and the nativity scenes and the rest of it. It's beautiful. It's extraordinary. It's powerful. But the lead up to the celebration of Christmas is a very key time. It's 4 weeks of preparation. And the preparation is a matter of getting perspective and getting rightly oriented, orienting our hearts and minds to receiving the gift and making sure that we're awake and alert. It's very common terminology in this season. Be alert, be awake, be sober, be clear-headed, be clear-minded, prepare yourself. This is a season not quite like Lent, but a season of the year that we do some fasting and prayer and preparation to make sure that our mind and heart, our spirits are clear and ready to receive the Lord again. And it reminds us of what matters most, and that each person's life, to reach its fulfillment, needs to be rightly ordered to God's action. What does that mean? Responsive to God's action, God's initiative, God's call in the fullness of time was perfected in God offering his son. Everybody knows the Bible passage. I saw it again last weekend. You see football games and people are holding up the signs of John 3:16. What is that? For God so loved the world. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not die, but have everlasting life. I found it interesting as one team was celebrating its victory. Fans were on the field. Somebody came marching through. A fan had a big banner with the John 3:16 on there. And I thought about it for a moment, and as fans were celebrating this monumental moment that happens every year, right? Here comes this guy reminding everybody with a big smile on his face that the greatest thing to celebrate is the revelation of God's love in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus came to give to us something no one else could give to us, and that is the offer of eternal life. And I mentioned that yesterday in the program. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, then I'd encourage you to go to our website. All these Advent programs are there. You can go to renewalministries.net. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them and on whatever device you use to be able to listen to them at your convenience. But this is the gift of all gifts. And one of the concerns I have, and one of the things I'm hoping to do in these weeks and want to continue to do today is to help you see the precious wonder, the wonder of the great gift that each one of us has been given. And it's ironic that even in this season of preparation, when we're being exhorted to dial in to what Christianity is all about, beginning with what God has done for us, the gift he's given to us, it's unfortunately one of the most distracting, intense, anxious-ridden periods of time in the year. And people are so busy, so overloaded, shopping, working, going to office parties, school events, just going 100 miles an hour, we almost have no time to stop. Somehow, I think the enemy, Satan, has his fingers in there somewhere. Because the one thing he does not want to have happen is he doesn't want you to lay hold of the gift you've been given. Because if you do, it'll change your life. He knows it. He's happy if we're running around giving gifts and being nice to people. He can live with that. He'd probably rather not have it happen, but I think he can live with that. But what he can't live with, what he does not want, is for you to come alive in your faith. And that is, come alive to what God himself has done for you in the person of Jesus Christ. Because this celebration of Christmas, the coming of our Lord, that's about his love for you personally. It's not just a generic thing. He came for you. Yes, he came for you. He came to seek you out so that he could save you. He took on human flesh so he could become like you, so that he could save you. And that is, so you could become like him. And friends, if we internalize what Christ has done for us, it will change us from inside out. It'll bring us the peace, the confidence, the purpose, the sense of destiny, the joy that we all want and that this season sings about, right? Good tidings of great joy. But my question is, how often does it actually penetrate us? How often are we're singing holiday songs and of good cheer, Christmas carols and the like, but how many people, ironically, in this season, maybe more than any time in the year, feel isolated, alone, lost, afraid? The only way those characteristics, the feelings, the sense of fallen and broken identity, almost hopelessness in the season of hope, the only way that gets dealt with is to internalize the truth and to be able to live by the truth. See, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to steal your joy. He wants to rob you in this season. As you see people celebrating, as you're maybe a part of celebrations, he wants to stand on your shoulder and whisper into your ear, this can't be for you, because you're a bad person, because you've sinned. Nobody really wants to know the real you. Does anybody love you? Are you even lovable? Does anybody care about you? In the midst of all this merrymaking that's going on, you feel isolated and alone. He wants to lead you to isolation, depression, despair, all that stuff. The one thing he doesn't want you to do is to know who you are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you to see what's been done for you and the reason for all of this merrymaking is the gift that you've been given in the incarnation, that is the life of Jesus becoming one of us, and the gift of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 5, I read yesterday, talking about John the Apostle, he's communicating to us how God testified that Jesus was his son by raising him from the dead and giving us the gift of eternal life. That's what this season's all about. The coming of Jesus is a miracle beyond all miracles, amazement beyond our wildest imagining. Heaven, the Creator God, enters his own creation to become one of us, to save us, because he loves us. People say, why? How could that be? Because he loves you. And he's come to save his creation. You are his creation. He's come to save you. He's come to draw you close to himself. He's come to save you by giving you a share in what his son Jesus has won for you through his incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection. So John would tell us, God gave us eternal life. He gave us something. This is the gift. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. But he who has not the son does not have life. John says, I write this to you because I want you to know that you have eternal life. And earlier in that chapter, he said, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. As he's building up to the section in the chapter talking about eternal life. So everyone who believes, how do we access the gift? How can I receive this gift? Well, we receive it by turning our hearts and minds to Jesus, accepting his offer of salvation. And what that implies is we understand, as he diagnoses each one of us, that we need to be saved. We need his help to become a new creation. Or if not, we're going to die in our sins. And we're going to live without hope in this world, and our lives will end in darkness and ultimate eternal separation from God. We need to pay attention to the offer. We need to believe what Jesus says about us and what we need. We need to welcome what the divine physician, the antidote that he brings to us, and say yes to it. Say, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me for all of my sin. Lord, I receive the gift. I love you. I trust you. I give my whole life to you. Come be Lord of my life. That's the kind of heart, Lord, I want to seek you. That's what it means to believe. And initially, it's saying yes, repenting and saying yes, and entering the waters of baptism so that you can receive the down payment. Really, you've already received the gift in baptism. It's not something that's just going to come at the end, but he's established a beachhead in you. He's made his home in you. The gift has come. So remember, in this season, it's not just remembering a historical event. That's part of it. It's not just looking forward to something else. That's part of it. But it's also recognizing the reality of the gift you've already been given. And so you rejoice that the kingdom of God, the miracle of Christ's presence, is unfolding in your life, in your very being. So John says here in chapter 5, verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Christ. He's the one filled with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is given in baptism. He goes on in verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We overcome the world because this world is passing away. This world will come ultimately under final judgment. And it will all pass away. It'll burn away by fire, Scripture says. That's our destiny apart from Christ. But faith gives us victory over the destiny of the world because it's faith, it's the surrender of our heart, mind, and strength to God and receiving the gift and saying yes to Jesus with everything we've got, receiving the offer of the gift of salvation. That's why this faith, this response to God, by the help of God, allows us to conquer all the powers that are in this world. That's the gift, and it's for you, friend. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.